Hello and welcome to this AAT podcast on interviewing skills. My name is Tracy Sinclair. Objectives. This podcast will provide you with the information you need so that you can develop the skills of good selection interviewing, drawing up a person specification, creating competence statements, listening, questioning, note-taking, and building rapport. The objectives of this podcast are to help you to plan and prepare for a selection interview, interview and select potential employees with greater confidence, and control the interview using both open, closed, and probing questions to gain the information in order to make a decision. Introduction. Let's start by you giving some thought as to your answer to a couple of questions. Write down some of your initial thoughts. What is the purpose of a selection interview? What are the benefits of good selection interviewing? Purpose and benefits. The purpose of the selection interview is to create a two-way flow of communication so that both parties are clear and confident about the suitability of the person for the position and vice versa. The interview is not intended to interrogate the candidate to see if they are good enough for the job. The candidate should also be interviewing the company to see if the job is right for them. It is the responsibility of the interviewer to create an environment that is conducive to this two-way flow, so that everyone can have the best opportunity of reaching the right conclusions. Many recruitment decisions have gone horribly wrong because either the person or the job has been upsold excessively, and so an unrealistic picture is gained. It is important to work through the selection process carefully and thoroughly in order to optimise your decision making. Getting recruitment decisions right give rise to many benefits, including good investment of time and money, fast payback on recruitment costs, and finding someone who thrives in their position and adds value to the organisation quickly. The selection interview must also comply with certain aspects of current employment law, details of which can be obtained from an HR specialist. The role of the interviewer. Take a few minutes to consider and perhaps make a note of what role the interviewer plays in the selection and interview process. This should include looking at both the tasks they undertake and the responsibilities they have. 8 steps to effective interviewing. An effective interview can be achieved by following 8 simple steps. 1. Considering a triangular approach to testing and assessing. 2. Developing a person specification. 3. Developing some competence statements. 4. Evaluating the CVs. 5. Preparing some interview questions. 6. Planning the interview. 7. Conducting the interview. And 8. Reflecting and deciding. Now let's take a look at some of these steps in more detail. Step 1. A triangular approach to testing and assessing. Imagine a triangle with the words technical, personality, and interview at each of the corners. The selection process might not be restricted to just the interview. You may want to consider asking the candidate to complete some type of personality or psychometric tests and perhaps also even a relevant technical test, if appropriate. In this way, you can base your assessment of their suitability for the role on all three of these areas. Step 2. Person specification. A person specification is like a profile of the ideal person to undertake a particular role. The development of the person specification provides focus for the interview and selection process. The specification can be drawn up through analysing the job description against some specific criteria and attributes. Probably the two best known models of drawing up a person specification are those developed by Alec Roger, the 7-point plan in 1952, and Munro Fraser, the 5-fold grading system in 1954. The following list of 13 points includes and builds upon some of the key criteria contained in those two models. Number 1. Technical skills, like programming, languages, operating systems, etc. Number 2. Qualifications, education and professional, for example. 3. Experience, how long, what level, what industry? 4. Special skills. Presentation, analytical, problem solving, lateral thinking, or attention to detail. 5. Interests. Do the individual's interests give any indication of suitability to the role? 6. Attitudes and behaviours. Extrovert, introvert, team player, loner. 7. Responsibilities. Making own decisions. Independent. Committed. Can set priorities. Can take risks. 8. Leadership. Setting objectives for others. Delegating. Training others. Managing a team. Motivating. Or appraising others' performance. 9. Interpersonal skills. Diplomatic, listening, confident, conflict, rapport. 10. Communication. Articulate, report writing, meetings, customer facing. 11. Resilience. Meeting deadlines. Coping with stress, coping with routine, positive about change, coping with disappointment. 12. Motivation. Self-motivated, ambitious, goal-driven, willing to be retrained, flexible. And 13. Circumstances. Availability, location, flexibility, travel and salary. Some or all of these attributes can be further analysed to establish those that are essential and those that are desirable from the candidate. Some organisations will have generic person specifications to cover particular roles. If not, you can create one by considering which of the attributes are relevant for the position concerned, and then highlighting whether you believe they are essential or desirable. What would the person's specification be for the role you might interview someone for? Step 3. Competence statements. Once a person's specification has been completed, it is possible to develop a few relevant competence statements. The competence statements allow you to focus specifically on those attributes required to fulfil the role. This not only helps you to evaluate a potential candidate's CV, but it also enables you to carefully construct questions for the interview that will support the effective evaluation of the candidate's suitability for the job. Competent statements often begin with the ability to something. Some examples might be the ability to give explanations that are clearly understood, evaluate and prioritise workload of self and or others, set realistic targets or take calculated risks, be objective when receiving feedback, analyse information, present reasoned arguments, work to tight deadlines, demonstrate flexibility towards working patterns, display enthusiasm and commitment, listen actively to others and appraise others' performance, involve other team members in decision making, share and seek information readily, monitor the quality of someone's work, provide clear and concise documentation, work in an organised manner, work as a team player, take on new responsibilities, notice and seize opportunities for improvement, investigate to ensure full understanding of a task, or develop internal processes to improve working practices. And so the list could go on. What could be some of the competent statements relevant for the role that you would interview for? Step 4, CV evaluation. Once you have a clear job description, a person specification, and some competence statements, you can now carefully assess the available CVs to see which ones are most aligned with the position. This enables you to draw up a shortlist and choose which ones you want to interview. Some people undertake the evaluation of a CV by underlining or highlighting relevant parts of the CV and making notes, etc. Other people like to use an evaluation table to undertake this exercise. This approach involves listing the essential and desirable attributes and then placing the name of each candidate across the top to form a grid. You can then assess each candidate against each of the attributes by placing a tick, a comment, or a grading like far exceeds, exceeds, meets, or does not meet. It doesn't really matter which approach you take as long as you are confident that you have been thorough and objective. Step 5. Interview questions. The interview is your opportunity to establish whether or not the candidate has the appropriate attributes for the job. This means skills, knowledge, and attitudes. It is important that some key questions are constructed during your pre-interview planning. It is beneficial to do this by reviewing the competence statements, the person specification, and the original job description so that you can ensure your questions are specific, relevant, and appropriate. However, it is also important not to become straitjacketed by them. Keep them as a framework and be prepared to deviate from them or add to them as the interview progresses. You may then formulate other questions during the interview process based on the responses given by the candidate to your initial questioning. Here are some examples of possible interview questions that probe for general attributes in any given role. Questions regarding education, qualifications and training. What training or education have you undertaken that enables you to do your current role? What did you enjoy most about the subject or training course? What did you dislike about the subject or training course? What training has been most valuable to you and why? Questions regarding work experience. Where have you enjoyed working most and why? What has been your most valuable working experience? What has been your most difficult work experience and why? What do you enjoy doing most? What do you enjoy doing least? Tell me about a significant job, project or assignment that you have worked on recently. How would your manager describe you and why? Which new skills do you think you developed in your current role? Questions regarding leadership. What have you done in order to motivate your team? How are priorities and goals set for your team? How would your team describe you and why? How have you handled any conflict within your team? What has been the most difficult staff problem you have had to deal with, and what was the outcome? Questions regarding initiative. Which aspects of your current job does someone else supervise? What types of decisions have you had to make? What do you think has been the worst decision you have made? Tell me about a time when you have had to take the initiative at work. Questions regarding resilience. How do you feel when under pressure? Tell me about a time when you failed to meet a deadline or objective. What has been your greatest disappointment and how did you handle it? How have you handled tasks that require a lot of detail with strict procedures that you cannot change? How do you respond to negative feedback or criticism? Questions regarding interpersonal skills. How do you find out what other people at work are thinking? How do you view your colleagues or your boss? What do you think is your boss's best and worst attribute? What sort of people do you most or least enjoy working with? Questions regarding the job application. How did you find out about this job? What appeals most to you about this job? And what appeals least to you about this job? What do you think you can bring to the role? And which skills will you need to develop further in order to do this job well? Effective questioning. Effective questioning skills are central to good communication. Good questions can control the direction of the conversation and enable you to draw out the information you need. They form the backbone of an interview. There are two main types of question, closed and open. A closed question will get you a single fact or a yes-no response, whereas an open question will encourage a full answer. Even though most of us know this, we often find it hard to use questions effectively in practice. so open questions will give you the fullest response. They typically start with words like who, what, why, when, where, and how. For example, what were your reasons for? They may also take the form of TED questions. For example, T, tell me. E, explain. D, describe. Don't be afraid to encourage the speaker to keep going and explore issues with further questions if you don't get a full reply first time round. Probing questions concentrate the conversation on areas of special interest. Closed questions. These are often useful for checking precise details, but if you ask too many of them, it can feel a little like a Gestapo interrogation. Examples could be, did you? Is there? At what time did? Is this to be? Have you? And were you? If the answers you are getting are too short, or if you feel stuck, use an open question or a TED question again to get things going. Remember to keep your body language open and friendly. Questions to avoid. Leading questions. These give an indication of the answer you expect from the other person. Sometimes the word or is used with a rising tone and voice tailing off. For example, when you handed over the project, did you think it was finished or? Was the sales campaign successful or? There's nothing you want to ask, is there? Leading questions have limited use. At best, they can be used to lead the conversation to a particular subject quickly. At worst, they can be seen as manipulating the relationship and can lead to resentment. Open questions are better because they result in more valuable and honest replies. Loaded questions. These are not really questions at all, but are rather more expressions of disapproval or criticism. For example, why on earth would you want to do that anyway? Didn't you realise that that was the wrong thing to do? And finally, multiple questions. Use one question at a time and wait for the answer. Multiple questions only serve to confuse. For example, what did you think of the new procedures when they were introduced? Do you think they worked well? What problems did you foresee and how do you think you would have overcome them? Here are some further competence-based questioning techniques. Here are three simple techniques to help you develop some of these questions. 1. Content and process questions. Content questions probe for what someone has done. For example, how many members of staff did you have reporting to you? Process questions probe for how someone did something. For example, how did you cope with the pressures of that role? Plan your questions and ensure that you ask some process questions as well as some content ones. Evaluate how effective the question might be by asking yourself, what are you trying to achieve by it? Will the question highlight the existence of a required competence? SOAR questions. SOAR questions, S-O-A-R, enable you to probe deeper into a particular situation or experience to help identify a required competence. S is for situation. Tell me about a situation when. O is for objective. What were your objectives for this situation? A is for action. What action did you take to achieve your objectives? And R is for results. What were the results? Technique number 3 is past, present and future questions. Past. Probe for details of past history or experience relevant to the role or a specific competence. Present. Probe for the candidate's perceptions of their own current strengths and development areas as far as the vacancy is concerned. And future. Probe for the candidate's perspective of the role and their future career. Finally, questions are only useful if you listen to the replies. Make sure you leave the individual enough time and space to think before answering your questions. Step 6. Plan the interview. Interview planning and preparation is very important. Write down your thoughts under the following headings. What practical arrangements need to be made? What information do I need to take with me to the interview? How should I brief the candidate? How will I structure the interview itself? The beginning, the middle, and the end. What will happen after the interview? Interviewer's preparation. 1. Planning for the meeting. Decide where to hold the interview and reserve a room if necessary. Obtain any necessary information. Review the job description so that you are clear about the exact vacancy. Review the person specification and competence statements so that you are clear about the key attributes to look for during the interview. Review the candidate's CV again so that you are as familiar with it as possible. Prepare your interview questions. Make any notes to remind yourself of any specific points to cover during the interview. 2. Briefing and contracting with the candidate. Agree with the candidate a date and time for the interview and put it in the diary. Allow at least an hour plus time afterwards for your notes and review. Explain to the candidate the interview process. This may be outlined in the invitation to interview letter and covered in more detail at the beginning of the interview itself. Send the candidate any relevant company information or reading material. Ensure the candidate has enough time to prepare for the interview properly. 3. Immediately before the interview. Make sure you have all relevant notes and papers to hand. Prepare the meeting room and ensure the environment is comfortable and relaxed. Arrange for privacy by diverting telephone calls or putting Do Not Disturb signs on the door. Take a few minutes to separate yourself from previous activities and ones you have to do afterwards. Refamiliarise yourself with the notes you have prepared. Take a few deep breaths and relax. Step 7. conduct the interview. At the start of the interview, greet the candidate by name. Be friendly but businesslike. Put them at their ease with some small talk. Explain the interview process and structure. Provide company background information. Discuss the job description. Invite questions. Invite note-taking for both parties. And check your body language. During the interview, using the CV, explore the candidate's background. Probe for the key information you need using your competence-based questions, the ones you prepared earlier. Which competence or attributes is the question probing for? Use your content and process questions, your SOAR questions, and your past, present, and future questions. Ask further questions based on the candidate's answers. Make brief notes. Invite questions. Keep a check on your body language. Listen actively. Be open, honest, and frank. And encourage the individual to respond in the same way. Use questions to draw out the individual's reactions and ideas. Discuss the candidate's strong points first to give emphasis to the positive. Discuss areas where the candidate may have some gaps in their skills or experience. Discuss what steps you may need to take in order to fill those gaps. Ensure your review covers all key areas of the job. Use examples as often as possible to underline or illustrate points. Discuss any points arising from your discussions and summarise from time to time. Now let's take a moment to look at active listening. Make a mental effort. A high level of concentration and commitment, as well as genuine concern, is needed if we want to listen effectively. Although the individual may be doing most of the input, yours is not a passive role. Concentrate. Listen to the individual's words, the sentences and phrases. Listen for the feelings accompanying the spoken words. Voice tone, hesitations, body language, for example. Listen also for the meaning behind the words. Try to sense whether the individual would be prepared to act on what they are saying at the level of commitment they have. Make sure you don't wander off into your own thoughts and lose the thread of what is being said. Don't try to think up your next response while the individual is still speaking. However tempting it may be, avoid filling an uncomfortable silence. A short silence might be very helpful for the individual to think things through. Avoid prejudging the individual or what they might say. Use appropriate body language. Your posture should be open and relaxed. Try to achieve a balance between rigidity and shuffling about. Maintain eye contact without staring and look interested. Smile at appropriate moments, as this generates warmth. Show you are listening verbally by use the following techniques. Paraphrase. Use your own words to demonstrate your understanding of what has been said. This also enables any misunderstandings to be corrected. Respond. Make listening noises like, aha, ah yes, okay, and refer to what the individual says. Use open questions to stimulate active discussion and enable you to check your own understanding. Summarise regularly and especially at the end to confirm understanding and to check that nothing has been omitted. Empathise by responding to feelings. That must have been a big problem, or I can see that that was causing you a lot of anxiety, or you seem to be very pleased about that. Note-taking. In an interview, note-taking is a very valuable tool. It helps you to pay attention, to organise your thoughts, communicate that what the applicant says is important, and to retain important details. When note-taking, you need to make an effort to listen. Give thought to how much your note-taking may interfere with the effectiveness of the interview. If you are constantly scribbling away, eye contact and rapport will diminish. So be as unobtrusive in your note-taking as possible and reassure applicants that you are listening even when you are taking notes. If you are taking notes, look up as often as you can. Better still, arrange for an interview panel member who is not involved in asking questions to take responsibility for note-taking. And remember that note-taking involves simultaneous actions. Talking, writing, observing, and listening for what is said and for what is not said. The challenge, therefore, is to gather notes quickly, clearly, and accurately. It is best to jot down simply the key points from your discussion. Don't try to record everything you hear. Record just enough to stimulate your recall. Your notes are not meant to be an exact record of every word said. They are memory joggers only. Get down the main ideas, facts, key terms and concepts. Include enough subordinate points or examples to clarify understanding. Listen selectively for information related to the performance to be rated and focus your note-taking on this. Limit your notes to what the applicant said or did. Don't record hunches, evaluations, value judgments or comments. If non-job related, irrelevant information, for example personal or off-topic information, comes out in the interview, don't record it. You may like to allocate a block of time at the end of the interview for expanding your notes while the issues are still fresh in your mind. It will help you if you prepare headings beforehand, allowing plenty of space for your notes, and these can also act as a prompt during the interview. The type of notes you will take depend upon the type of interview you are conducting. For example, you may be asking a question that asks for steps or actions. You will be able to either check these specific responses against your predetermined marking guide or make brief notes in point form. In other cases, you will be making notes of behaviours or a dialogue that occurs following an oral presentation that may require more descriptive information to be recorded. Whatever types of notes you take, they must give you enough information to rate applicants after the interview and to support your decision making. You will also need to refer to your notes if asked to provide feedback to an applicant or if you need to review your decision. So effective note-taking records key information. It does not get in the way of observing, listening, or eye contact. Effective note-taking is legible. It provides an accurate record of the interview discussion, and it is concise and complete. Methods of note-taking. It is worth giving some thought to the method you use for note-taking. Here are the most common methods. Linear notes. This method is the most widely used for note-taking. Its greatest advantage is that just about everyone is comfortable with using it. However, unless plenty of space is left as the notes are taken, it can be difficult to go back and add to or expand notes taken earlier in the meeting. Lined paper is best for taking linear notes. Predetermined headings. These allow you to match responses against specific questions or headings, but don't allow them to become a straitjacket to you. Mind mapping is a method of note-taking that is semi-pictorial, using words, symbols, and pictures. Mind maps, also known as spider diagrams, pattern notes or topic webs, etc., appeal to the logical, analytical, and the creative shape recognition functions of the brain, and so contribute to the ease of remembering. They are very flexible. Remarks can be associated with individuals, links to other points can be made, and extra notes added in easily. This form of note-taking is very individual, so don't worry if other people think they look strange. One possible disadvantage is that they do require time and practice in order for them to become really useful. But this investment in time is very worthwhile, as mind maps can be used in so many different circumstances. The idea is to use keywords or symbols rather than phrases or sentences. Unlined landscaped paper works best for this. It is worth trying out different methods of note-taking to see what suits you best. Over time, you will evolve your own preferred method or mixture of methods. Bear in mind the pros and cons of different ways of note-taking and choose what is appropriate for the meeting at which you are and to take notes. Lastly, whatever method you choose to use, make your notes as logical and as structured as possible. Cutting out distractions. Cut out general distractions. Noise, windows to look out of, paper on a desk, and put a Do Not Disturb sign on the door. Divert telephones. Keep your note-taking to a minimum so that it doesn't damage the atmosphere of the conversation. Ways to create rapport. In order to create the all-important two-way flow of communication as quickly as possible, you need to try and build some rapport with the candidate. Building rapport involves the physical setting as well as body language. In general, the more formal the setting, the more formal will be the atmosphere. Recognise that a desk creates a physical barrier between you. It is often better to set chairs at an angle to each other rather than at polar opposites, the only barrier being perhaps a low coffee table. Remember to respect people's personal space and keep a comfortable distance between yourself and the other person. This will also depend on cultural norms. Make sure that you use appropriate physical gestures at the start, like a warm handshake and a smile. Your first words will set the tone of the meeting. It is often useful to open with a few general observations, but don't indulge too much in chatter. The best rapport builders automatically alter the way they speak and move to suit the person they are talking to. A useful technique works by matching voice tone and body language to help establish rapport very quickly and effectively. Voice tone is said to be more than 5 times more influential than the words you speak. So if you want to gain rapport, try to match the other person's voice in terms of tone, speed of speech, breathing rate, volume, and pitch, etc. At the same time, try to match in a subtle way their body language. This is called mirroring. Once you have established rapport, mirroring will become easier and more natural. In mirroring, you are matching the other person. Pacing is mirroring that stays in step with the other person's body movements and gestures. It is possible only once rapport has been established, otherwise it may come across as mimicry. You might then want to move on to leading. This involves a gradual change in your behaviour and voice in order to create a shift in the other person. For example, having gained rapport with a nervous person, you are likely to want to lead them into a better state of communicating. Little by little, you would adopt a slightly more relaxed approach until the person is ready and able to communicate more effectively, resulting in a fruitful interaction for both parties. Similarly, if you are frustrated by the slowness of the other person, you must avoid displaying any impatience, but instead slip into their rhythm and match it. Once you have paced this and built rapport, you can gradually increase the rate of your voice and movements to lead them into a speedier mode of behaviour. However, this will only work if the other person does not feel manipulated. We all have different ways of achieving rapport with people. However, using the following suggestions will help you to get started. Maintain good eye contact. Smile. Use relevant humour. Look and sound relaxed. Use names. And get them talking. At the end of the interview, summarise the discussion. Give a summary of the job, including any relevant employment terms and conditions and package information. Check to confirm that you have all of the necessary information. Give the individual an opportunity to add anything else they may want to say. Check to confirm details of the candidate's availability. Explain next steps and timescales. Invite questions. Give the candidate a tour of the offices. Thank the candidate for attending the interview. After the interview, summarise in writing the main points of the discussion. Review the interview and make a note of what went well and what you could improve. If you have another interview to follow with another candidate, make sure that you allow enough time to have a short break and then complete your next round of preparation. Once you have completed all of the interviews, you will need to begin your decision-making process. But first, take a little time to reflect. Step 8. Making a decision. The final decision about a candidate should have been made a lot easier through your careful planning and preparation. This should have included the following tasks: a review of the job description and completion of the person specification, the preparation of some competence statements that focus on 1, the essential, and 2, the desirable elements in the person specification, an evaluation of the CVs, preparation of some carefully constructed interview questions that focus on the required and desired competences, and the preparation of some clear and concise notes from the interview or interviews. After the interviews, it is important to spend some time reflecting upon all of this information to help you make the right decision. Some of the following exercises may also be beneficial. Compare the CV evaluation with the interview notes for the same candidate. Compare both of these against the original person specification. Pay particular attention to how you feel the candidate would perform against the essential attributes. You may also find it helpful to give some ranking or priority to the attributes on the person specification so that you can focus your thoughts on the most important attributes necessary to fulfill the role. To help you compare different candidates, you could draw up a decision matrix. This is done by listing the candidates and then across the top, list each of the attributes you are looking for. You can then give each candidate a score out of 10 or out of 5 against each of the attributes you require. You can then add up those scores, which gives you some type of priority ranking. This method may help to focus your thoughts. However, be careful not to be purely guided by the numbers. It is important to review the results and consider them against any different priorities each of the attributes have. Seek references from previous employers. These requests can be tailored so that they draw more information about specific competencies that you are unsure about. Remember that references could also be sought by telephone as well as in writing. If you are still unable to make a confident decision about a candidate, you may want to consider asking them back for a second interview. The questions can then be targeted to explore certain competencies further. Think also about who should conduct the second interview. Naturally, you will want to ensure that you have taken appropriate steps in order to make the right decision. However, your own feelings and instinct should also be considered as part of the decision-making process. Finally, once you have made your decision, make sure you finish the job properly by remembering to do the following. Issue an offer of employment. Agree a start date. Plan and prepare for the first day of employment. Plan and prepare a suitable induction program. Consider the probationary period. And consider how you will integrate the person into their new team. This concludes the podcast on interviewing skills. I do hope you found this useful, and thank you very much for listening.